Good morning and welcome to At Home at the Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, it is September 19th. 2021 has done flown by, my man.
Man, I think that's the name of the game these days. Don't ask me why.
Someone done hit the accelerator button.
My old buddy told me one time, Bob Blanton, he said his theory on that is, you know, one year now is 1/43rd of my life, because I'm 43 years old, if you understand that. But when I was two, it was 1/2 of my life. So 1/43rd is a lot smaller of a fraction than 1/2.
Oh, Bob's got some wisdom.
That was pretty intelligent.
That is pretty good.
I was like, man.
I've never heard that
before.
And at
the time, I was like 24. I'm like, man, this stuff's flying by. He said, wait till you're 43.
yeah, right?
That was like 20 years ago. It really was. My good old Nary days. Old Bob, I hope you're doing well, man.
Yeah, I went to Bob's house and met him when I first started at Roby Electric, and we hooked up a little electrical work.
He's old river rat.
Out there on the river. Yeah, he's right by the Steel Creek area, right?
Yeah, he sold that house. He lives down in Withers Cove. Now he lives down near Buster Boy Bridge, a little further south. We keep chewing the cud about meeting up on the water, but we haven't. But, Bob and Janet.
Cool.
I did some Nary trips, remodeling association with Bob early on. It's just such a stand-up guy. He owned All Season Windows and Door.
Yeah.
Yeah, over here on Wilkes. True West Sider. NASCAR guy. I mean, what else?
I gotcha.
Is there?
I gotcha. There's something about meeting up with somebody on the water. My river days have been hung up for the year. I'm no longer a river rat. My river time is, you know, May, June, July, August, and then we ship out east for the off season.
So you keep your boat east?
East, yes.
Your boat does not come return to the Catawba.
Nah, man. I got my buddy.
Until summer?
I got my buddy Nicky down at Oak Island. I keep it at a little storage facility down there. It's about, it's a little bit less down there. The little land's a little cheaper. Nicky's a good fella. The only thing that you got to worry about is they got the sand gnats down there. Woo, where to keep this thing? You got to watch out. Look at my arm. Stokers will get you.
Sand gnats.
Or sand flea.
Maybe one day I'll get to go down there and experience the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about that now for couple years.
I know, it's a shame that I hung out with John Tamaro, our good buddy.
Every time you talk about it, and then you talk to your boy at
Barrett
Ocean Isle Fishing Center.
Yeah, making some connections with he and John.
And then a couple weeks ago, you said you talked to the municipalities of Brunswick County, the man with the strong arm.
Yeah, when you see the guys with those brown uniforms, that isn't a good thing. But I will tell you something interesting on that same trip. That was the last time I was there. There's a inlet called Lockwood Folly, which if those are people that have been down in the area, it's very narrow and it's very shallow. And I had my mother-in-law with us, and I'm a novice, Trent. I'm trying to learn. And they were dredging, and the boat was called the Merritt, and I was kind of getting a little dicey. I wanted to try to follow somebody else through this thing so I could figure it out for the first time. And I sat there for a while, and I wasn't comfortable with going, and I was going to go the wrong way. And so I was like, let's try this radio out. And I clicked the button and said, come in, Merritt. And this nice fella answered right away, said, go ahead. I said, where do I need to go? I've never been down this inlet. And he said, follow up my starboard side, which is the right side of a boat. And you just come straight up the head, and you'll be good to go. And I clicked off, said thank you, and he said, really appreciate you calling. And it was pretty cool for me. That was a big confidence booster, because I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And he got down to 2 foot of water, and I was like, this is not good. But sure enough, got right on through. Yeah,
man.
Nice of that fella to do that.
Well, you know, I've always said you only have a certain amount of things in your life you can learn or try to do, and I'm kind of pretty set, content. And never been one to have a hankering to learn to scuba dive.
Yeah.
I've snorkeled, you know.
That's a lot of fun, though.
It is fun, but one fish, all fish, in my opinion. I mean, that's good. It's just not my thing.
Red fish, blue fish?
Green fish, brown fish.
I read a book called Blue Fish. You ever heard that one? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I haven't.
Go ahead.
But my kids watch these videos. Like, TV today is watching
YouTube videos,
yeah. These people. That's TV today.
Don't
get mad that Woody Woodpecker written on. And they're pretty educational. I mean, like, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, lock yourself in a box and see how you can get out of it. It's kind of, kind of funny. But these divers are getting shark's teeth, megalodon shark's teeth, and they're pulling like 15, 20 a day out. I told Reagan last night that they were watching it, and I said, that might be one thing that gets me wanting to scuba dive.
Chris Gibson, Roby Director of Construction for our commercial side, he just learned how to scuba dive with his son.
That's great.
Yeah, he said it's the coolest thing. You need to do that, man. Go get you some megalodon teeth.
I don't need to do that. I got a lot on my plate.
I mean, you could
That's
get like
my
a,
deal.
A megalodon tooth necklace. That'd look cool.
Sometimes too much makes people not have a good heart.
I agree.
No matter how cool the too much is.
But it's a megalodon tooth. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I got a megalodon tooth, dude.
The one around your neck is a necklace. Wear that joker around. It started talking with like an Australian accent.
My megalodon tooth came from my mom's sister, God rest her soul. Her name's Judy. She taught me to hunt shark's teeth at Topsail Beach when I was a little kid. But she found this on the beach or on the side of the road, apparently, was a story, in Florida. And I always dreamed about going to Florida. Oh, my gosh, that's where the real shark's teeth are. Real. So, you know. So
that
this
is cool.
So this spring break. This year passed, we went to Disney, and on the way we stopped a couple spots and looked like notorious shark teeth place, found a couple good ones. But next spring break, we're doing a coastal trip, and we're gonna go on a megalodon hunt. So fossil hunt. So which all sharks' teeth are fossils. So pretty exciting.
That's
and,
cool.
And in a couple of weeks, I'm going down to Rich Ballot, my buddy's house, been on the show, down at Topsail Beach.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little sharks' teeth extravaganza for me and my family. So exciting stuff, man. How did we get into that? I don't know. I'm in a good mood.
Sharks' teeth are awesome.
They are.
We should talk. We should have an entire show on sharks' teeth.
I mean.
I would be down.
I'm in.
All right, we'll interview you.
Who's the expert?
You.
Oh! Hey, speaking of shark's teeth, our guest today is Ross Twitty.
Oh, yeah. There you
Runs family business down at the Outer Banks. Wow. Twitty and Company. He's a generational family business manager. They manage properties. I know they manage over 1,000 private residences.
Goodness.
He's talking about right down our alley. We got saltwater, shark's teeth, property management. We're in the game.
Love it.
All right, Ross Twitty, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last segment, we talked all things megalodon, shark, teeth, amongst a bunch of other things, teeing up Ross Twitty, who is based out of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, Outer Banks. Ross, do you have any megalodon teeth?
Fortunately, no. You know, I'd like to go surfing, so when you guys start the show by talking about sharks eating people, you know, it just sets the right tone.
Yeah, that's not what a surfer wants to do. I'll tell you another thing that stinks about surfing sometimes is, do you guys get jellyfish bad up there, or you just sort of get immune to them after a while?
Did I mention I'm in the vacation rental business on the Outer Banks? So I answer that question a little differently than most people.
There's zero jellyfish. None.
Well, we live in this wonderful ecosystem of a healthy ocean. And that makes for a wonderful chance to go swimming and experience the wild creatures.
Wow.
Man, that was pretty good.
Sounds great.
Now, if you've never been to the Outer Banks, obviously, I mean, I'm sure most people have, but it is just beautiful. I mean, it's a whole different feeling than, you know, the Southern Carolina beaches that we're used to, Trent. It's unbelievable out there. I would imagine you're a fisherman as well.
I fish, you know, I put a lot of bait on hooks and stare out to the horizon. Sometimes I catch something, sometimes not, but I'm always winning.
Heard that. Patrick's got the same fish story.
I just don't catch anything.
He fishes out of Ocean Isle, though. Yeah, how far
Oak
apart
Island.
Are you guys?
Yeah, we're pretty far.
Oak Island, excuse me. Yeah, Ocean Isle is right above, right?
Below, yeah.
Okay.
So Oak
That's
Island is...
part of the reason I wanted to come on the show today. I hear the mountain accent, and all you guys do is talk about southern beaches. I said I got to do something about this.
So what generation are you on Outer Banks?
I'm the second generation of Twitty & Company. So Dad founded in
1978. That's a great year I was born. Ross and I met through YPO. He's probably our most eastern member of the Southern Seven chapter right now. I think you're hanging out there on the wings of North Carolina. But about me, I think this is good. Dave Chappelle, Looney Tunes, and Eastbound and Down are the biggest influences of comedy in my life. Born and raised in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, there's only one type of barbecue, slow-cooked hog with Eastern North Carolina sauce.
Woo!
Only better than barbecue is same-day yellowfin cooked rare tuna cooked rare over hickory chips.
Amen.
So, I like that, man. And when we first met, I went and looked you up after we hung out the first time, and I read that. I said, this is my type of dude.
It's very complicated and formal.
Yeah, they're very formal. But, yeah, no, we joke about Eastbound and Down a little bit on here, so
we
that's
do.
Funny.
That's why I'm doing it. Woo.
That's why you did? Oh, man. So you're second generation. Your dad started the Twitty & Company in 78 to manage privately held rental properties in the Outer Banks. Is that right?
He started in real estate and so sold some real estate in the Outer Banks. And then the question came up, hey, now that I've built a home, would you be willing to rent it out? So kind of went into the vacation rental side from the real estate side. And so as the more property sold, the more folks wanted to build homes, they asked the same question. Hey, are you willing to rent it out? Because I can only use it, you know, 50 or 2 weeks out of the year, 3 weeks out of the year. And the hope was that, hey, by having someone pay for the weeks I can't use, maybe they can subsidize this investment.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty smart game. Patrick, you got one down there, don't
That's
you?
What we do. Yeah, I mean, the same thing. And we I mean, it's 100%. I mean, that was the only reason we were really able to do it, and we wanted to do it, was to have somebody like yourself. I mean, it had to be turnkey for us. I mean, we didn't want to get another headache. We traded a headache in Charlotte from a rental property standpoint to do that, and it seems like it's a pretty lucrative business, and it's a true win-win. I mean, it really is. You go into partnership with somebody like yourself. We have one near us, and you know, you get a statement at the end of the month, and all the headaches that normally would come with being, especially a short-term rental person or a rental investor, kind of go away. It's got to be
the nail on the head between the aligning the emotional side of it with the financial side, so the economics and the heart have to work together. So you're like, hey, we enjoy this. This is our investment. We're proud of this. And we also want to make sure we're doing this in the right fashion, where it does do something for ourselves or the future generation.
Well, and that's exactly how we thought about it. Like, I mean, we wanted to appreciate what we had and be able to make some memories with our family and not have to be a pain in the, you know what? And I mean, that's exactly what has happened so far. Knock on wood. It's, you know, other than, you know, you learn real quick being somebody from Charlotte and owning something at the coast that things just don't last nearly as long. HVAC and water heaters in particular. But other than that, I mean, it's been a really seamless transition. And I think you do make a good point of the emotional side is sort of taken out of it.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to have a trust with that person. You know, hey, if you want someone to manage a multimillion-dollar investment, you have to understand who they are, have to trust them, you have to enjoy the relationship. And it's tough. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear. You don't want to replace the hot water heater. You don't want to do the HVAC. Or the carpet, or, you know, something breaks. But at the end of the day, like, it is a business, and there are some guests in the home paying big money. And you're part of this partnership to create this wonderful experience.
So, Ross, how long have you worked in the business? Were you a little rug rat running around with your pops raking off sand spurs?
Well, no one's ever accused me of being smart. So, yes, I grew up in the business thinking it was normal. And so, you know, started stuffing packets when I was five at the front.
Yeah.
And stuffing linens when I was eight, and then moved on to doing some services outside in the homes themselves. You know, by 12, 13, 14, I was able to ride along with some folks. Went to college, came back from college, and went right back into this. So it's been 20 years full time, but growing up in the business, doing everything from packets, linens, maintenance, and then starting full time, worked throughout the company in owner services and accounting. In operations and marketing, a number of different ventures, just because that was my passion. That was what I thought was fun. It is fun. And I think I got a gift of not really having a choice. I just said, this is something I've always wanted to do.
Where did you go to college?
Dear old Wake Forest. So we're the irrelevant team in the ACC.
Man, Wake Forest. We don't hear that one too
often.
We don't.
Is there really a relevant team right now in the ACC?
Oh.
Well, maybe we shouldn't go there.
people are talking about, like, who's going to join these big conferences. Wake Forest is on the other side. We're worried we're going to get kicked out. We're on this tobacco road, but we don't really scare anyone. No one's really excited to play us. So we're just making sure that we keep in the firm roots of the ACC and do our best.
You're bringing up the academic bell curve. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? You guys are bringing the intelligence from the heart of the state.
Well, they let me in. So, I mean, I don't know how much that.
What did you study at Wake?
It was a specific field called business, BID, apostrophe NESS.
Hey.
And you took back that down to the Eastern Seaboard, huh?
Right.
That is hilarious.
That's pretty good.
There was
yeah.
not a major for hospitality at Wake, but it was just general business. And so that allowed me to go into. You know, anything that I had, I thought a connection with the family.
Oh, yeah. I went to Carolina, and they definitely don't have anything related to construction, my generational family. But, and I told my dad I wanted to go to state, and he told me if I didn't wear that baby blue, as he saw me wear it every single day of my life for years, he was going to beat my head. So I went and studied economics because I couldn't get into business school.
I'm not sure what to think here because Clemson had both of these things, construction science and PRTM, parks, recreation, tourism management. So I don't know what that says. I didn't study either one of them. But,
You're a generation behind me, Patrick, but when I was coming up, Clemson was no good. No, I'm kidding.
Counting cow patties. We've heard that before.
That was a complete joke. Clemson's always been a first-class school.
Ag and engineering, man.
My dad told me I had to go in state, and he let my sister go to college at Charleston, so that's a whole other problem with my family.
You don't hold any head trash for that, huh?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Hey, it worked out.
It worked out well.
One? Well, your sister's a doctor.
Yeah,
she's doing okay.
Yeah, now she lives in Augusta. So, yeah. Well, Ross, man, awesome story. We'd love to continue and talk business philosophy and where are you going, where you see opportunities, and talk about people traveling down to the Outer Banks. Will you stick around with us for another segment?
Y'all are the boss. I'm just along for the ride.
All right. Ross Twitty, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We're joined by Ross Twitty, hailing from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, in the vacation rental property management business. He has confirmed there are no jellyfish in the Outer Banks. Everything is good to go. Come enjoy the pristine.
Southern Shores, is that Kitty Hawk?
I do not know.
Next door to Kitty Hawk, yeah.
Okay. I go kiteboarding out there, actually, with YPO a couple times. And I will say where we kite is on the sound side. And it is about 5 feet deep, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet deep for several miles, it seems like. You kind of lose perspective when you get out there. And I've never seen a jellyfish, I don't think. So I think he's on to something, actually.
No, I'm with you.
And then I've gone, some guys go to the ocean side, which is right across the street, really, and they'll surf when the wind's not right. But I was a beginner, so I had to go over there and try to fly a kite on land a little bit on the beach. But, man, what a beautiful,
awesome. We were there with the vendor about 2 months ago, Nag's Head, which is a little bit north, I believe. Am I right on that, Ross?
A little bit south, but again, if you're on vacation, it's wherever you want it to be.
Hey, that's right. And you got world-class fishing. I mean, the whole area is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm very jealous you get to live there, and obviously you've been prosperous. Trent, you were asking some questions during the break I think would be pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, my take on it when I go out there for a couple of days and I kite and I hang out with the locals and stuff, I feel gnarly when I come home. I mean, I don't know if I'm just a big cornball coming home with my new pair of shorts. But it puts you in that mood. And the really cool thing is like the diverse mix of folks that are out there and they're just hanging out and they go exercise really hard for a couple hours and then they come back and they're just casually interacting and chilling socially. So I was saying maybe you could educate us a little more, brag about your homeland and where you earn a living. Talk about where the folks come from that own your properties that you manage. You know, what area of the Southeast, if that's it, or and where your visitors tend to come from, and what attracts them?
I think you guys nailed it. The Outer Banks is unique in the sense that it's beautiful. It has wonderful seafood, which creates this emotional experience, and it has kind people. And I think that those three factors together make somebody more likely to be happy after experiencing that and want to do it again. And so you see this draw of just North Carolina, just in general. Of course, I'm biased, but it's just a gorgeous state. And so out on the coast, we get people that are coming from the northeastern part of the United States. And so Northern Virginia is the biggest one, but wow. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, you have that draw from that driving distance, usually about 6 to 8 hours. And so the homeowners do this journey, too, come down, experience it. They probably feel gnarly as well or radical. And they'd say, hey, we like doing this. We like renting, but we like something more permanent. We'd like to be able to call this a little slice of it our own. And so you just see this evolution towards, you know, renters that turn into guests, that turn into owners.
That's neat.
Makes sense.
And I didn't realize I love seafood, my favorite food by far. I didn't realize that seafood had an emotional attraction. Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, anytime you say, hey, I'm out there visiting the coast, you know, and I think people, when they talk about it, I ask them all the time, like, hey, what are you looking forward to on the Outer Banks? And a lot of it is, hey, I'm going to do nothing. But it's not necessarily nothing. It's time with family. And some of those best memories are made over some meals. And locally, it's seafood. We got some green-tail shrimp, local shrimp being caught right now. Absolutely wonderful. And so the grandparents, at some point in time, you just see this increase on experiences on the nation right now with COVID going on. And so it's anywhere pretty has seen that, but particularly in the Outer Banks. And it comes down to the grandparents or parents and like, hey, what we really want in our life is to eat a really good meal surrounded by family with time to talk. And so we're biased, but we think it's, hey, get some same-day yellowfin tuna or some scallops or mahi-mahi or shrimp or this wide selection that we have in North Carolina and sit down with your family or loved ones and people you care about and listen to the ocean in the background and hear your kids laugh and tell me if you're not a better person afterwards.
Amen.
No, you're dead on the money. I mean, I think I was joking earlier. I'm reading a book called Blue Fisher, and that's what this guy does is create like crazy experiences for different people. Like, one example was he got a guy that was able to sing four songs for Journey. All he wanted to do was meet Journey. And that's what he's talking about. He said, you know, you can give somebody some money, right? You can give somebody money, and they'll pay their bills, and they forget about it. But you give that experience, and it's something that you never, ever forget. And that's priceless, and that's kind of what the whole basis of the book is. And you're exactly right. Ross, when we bought our little condo at Oak Island, you know, we were bouncing it back and forth, and then a good mentor of ours, our CFO, David, said, yeah, but if you wait 2 more years, you're going to miss out on 2 years of potential memories. If you think you can do it, you should just do it. And he was right. I mean, I'm only going to have the chance to have my daughter when she's 7, 8, 9, and 10 in that atmosphere one time. I get one chance at this. So that's exactly what's happened with us is that she turns into a different person when we go there. She can be grumpy, a little bit like a normal 10-year-old kid, but we get down there and she's back to being, you know, 6, 7-year-old, just having the time of her life. And I get it. I mean, I completely get your industry, and it's really cool that you get to bridge that gap with people making that transition.
There's a great country song that says, memories cost a lot if you don't make them. And that's so true. And then I go back to the freshman convocation speaker said, hey, make time to waste time at college. And that had a powerful impact on me. And I think that's what folks want to do. They want to protect this time with family just to go there. And the ocean is a great equalizer. You could be into whatever and have different styles and personalities, but you can all come together and laugh at the sound of the ocean.
So tell me, how is business in fall of 2021 down at the Outer Banks?
We are so fortunate. I think, again, anywhere pretty in America right now is seeing an increase of business. And I think we're a little more fortunate in the sense that it's within driving distance. It is safe. And it's somewhere where families can congregate together. And I think overall, this whole experience business, like people want an increase of experiences that is family-oriented, safe. And I think by default, the Outer Banks is lucky. There's so many other alternatives that are just not active or viable right now. Cruises, big resorts, international travel, European trips. And so if you look at all the things we face in terms of competition of choices, we sometimes get down to a narrow list right now, and I think you just see an increase of travel to the Outer Banks. So we've been very, very lucky. And so that helps keep us humble at the same time. Like, hey, this whole attribution model is nothing we did. We're just along for the ride. So remember that and try to make the most of it.
Yeah, Patrick and I talk about, I mean, I'm amazed at when I reflect on COVID and other trying times in my grown life as I reflect. You know, it's sad, but it's true. Winners of industry and areas geographically and stuff are picked and losers are picked, and that's just the way the world is. I mean, and God bless that I think the whole Southeast, the Sun Belt, North Carolina, the Outer Banks, I mean, Godspeed to you and your family business. I think it's awesome. You're definitely one of the most unique businesses we've ever had on here with where y'all are located and what you do and being a family business. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Got about a minute. What is the one principle, business and family, I think is pretty similar. You might have something separate. That Ross Twitty runs and helps his family business with and lives by?
I'd say it's a mix of do right, fear no man. We saw that expression a long time ago. And family harmony.
Do right, fear no man, I mean, and family harmony.
He didn't skip a beat there either. He might have been doing a little homework before the show. That was pretty good, man.
Well,
you go back to COVID and you're like, hey, what are some principles of COVID? Like, hey, all we can do is the right thing for as long as we can and go to bed, wake up, do the same thing again. And we'll come out in the best possible position. I can't control the outcome, but that's all we know.
No, that's right. And worry only. Worry is taking a loan on something that might 85, 90% chance never happens.
My wife calls it borrowing trouble.
Mm.
That's it.
Amen.
You quit borrowing trouble. I'm like, oh, but I'm good at that. Leave me
Yeah, I want to do it. It's good at it. Yeah. Well, Ross, give your business a plug, man. It's been awesome, awesome with your personality and learning about your family, learning about your land.
Anytime you're on the Outer Banks, if you have an interest in short-term accommodations, think Twitty and Company. It's kind of like Conway Twitty, the famous country artist, but with two D's.
There you go.
We'll blow it up on social
Twitty,
media, too. Yeah.
T-W-I-D-D-Y, Twitty and
Twitty,
Company.
Not Conway.
And we'll put it on the air. Ross, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank y'all. I appreciate it. If we can ever help, please let me know.
We will. I'm coming your way. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick Bukosik from Roby Commercial Services. I'm with Trent Hastin from the Roby family of companies. Just finished up with Ross Twitty, Trent.
Like Conway, but with two D's.
Remember, I was going to ask him that, but I said maybe we shouldn't. I'm sure he hears that all the time. Are you related to Conway?
Two D's, man.
Different spelling. He's off the hook. Or he's on. But I mean, maybe being related to Conway Twitty's good.
He could be related to him. Well, I would think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Got a little country in him. He might fit the bill.
Yeah, no joke.
Man,
no joke.
That was awesome. That is cool. We talk about this all the time. And we talk about it because it's rare industries, a rare charity a guy does. He flies veterans around.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the asphalt man, you know. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. This fella, Ross Twitty, in the Twitty Company, manages over 1,000 single-family houses in the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Vacation rentals, yeah.
Privately owned.
That's crazy.
That's just unbelievable. And we're in that business, in the services side of business, but all the things you were talking about out at the coast that goes into managing a property and what the weather and the climate and stuff can do to it relative to being inland. Talking about I got a funny story. And then we're going to read our second wish story, right?
Yep.
So I got a funny story. So my dad's old pickup truck is not all 2012, so it's about 10 years old. I have another vehicle, so I drive it some, you know, about 50% of the time. Well, it's got a leak in the top of the door when it rains and sits in my driveway, and it's got water in the bottom of the door. And I took the kids to school today, and they're like, when I put brakes on, the water swooshed. They're like, what is that? I'm like, it's water in my door. And then I'm like, man, it might rust out. I'm glad it's not salt water in my door.
But
it's weird. Anyway, F-150, go. My son's name's Ford. Woohoo! All right.
There it is.
I probably punctured the top of the door. All right, let's get serious.
Yep.
This is our favorite time of the show. Favorite season is you're going to read a wish story. Who is our wish child today?
This is Ivy.
Ivy.
And Ivy, I wish to give my park wheelchair accessible equipment. Here we go. 4-year-old Ivy is lovingly known as Princess Ivy throughout her hometown of Vass? V-A-S-S. I'm sure I'm getting this wrong. Let's say Vass, North Carolina. She is spunky and sweet like many 3-year-olds. Her very favorite activity is playing outside, specifically swinging in her backyard with her brother and neighbors. However, Ivy has a rare disease that causes her to be wheelchair bound, which limits her ability to play freely in the park or her school with friends. Ivy and her family are advocates for children with disabilities and knew that there were other wheelchair-bound children in her community that would love an opportunity to play and swing together. So when they learned that Ivy was eligible to have a wish granted, she wished to give wheelchair-accessible playground equipment to our local park. Think about that.
Wow. We talked about that last Sunday.
We did.
Yeah.
So this selfish gesture was met by her community with joy and enthusiasm as they all rallied together to celebrate Ivy and her wish coming true. A local company helped to build a wheelchair-accessible swing set and carousel that could be enjoyed by all children. And when it was time to reveal her wish, everyone from the local fire department to the town mayor came out to help Ivy cut the ribbon to unveil her beautiful new park.
Man. I mean, speaking of what we talked about when you were reading the wish story and had Chris Weber on last week, we were talking about how this is so cool to see what these kids do, what they want to do, want to be, want to get the experience when they're granted a wish, and how so many of them, which I definitely don't think it's needed, but so many of them's hearts come into play and they want to do things for other people as well to share the love. So it's
awesome.
Pay it forward, pay it back, flip it around. Man, go Ivy. I hope you're getting to play on that play set.
Yeah, all the other kids.
The time. In Vass, North Carolina. That's what we're calling it?
I guess. If you're from that town, I'm super sorry if I mispronounce. Like we've talked about this before. I don't like to read these things beforehand because every one of them gets me emotional, which I appreciate. I think it's important for us to get to that point in emotion. What did Jimmy Valvano used to say? You should laugh and cry every single day. That was one of his SB speech. I don't know if I've watched that thing about 1,000 times, but he's right. I mean, having that emotion and bringing yourself to that emotion is important. These stories do that for us.
I agree. I have no problem with crying, and I definitely have no problem with laughing.
Yeah, pretty good at that. Yeah.
We like to cut up a little bit. We cut up some today with Ross Twitty.
Yeah, we did.
Man, he's an OG from the coastie.
Eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down.
For real.
Oh, Kenny Powers.
As far east
got TJ over here laughing.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he is eastern U.S.
And he said something on that bio you read. There is not much better in this world than fresh yellowfin tuna off the fish. I mean, sometimes even eating it raw.
It is really good. And it's fun to catch, but better to eat. How about that?
It is.
And my kids, we've been eating a little bit of sushi, so it's good.
There you go.
You know, get the sushi house going on. Sushi boat.
Some catfish out of the river there.
I love
the catfish roll.
We caught a big catfish last weekend, man. It was good. We did not eat it. We threw it back. Catfish lived to see another fisherman.
There it is.
Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We have 7 weeks to the 14th annual Pitching for Wishes, November the 6th. That was our second wish story leading up to it. Ross Twitty with the Twitty and Company, hailing from the Outer Banks of North Carolina, a good friend. Check it out if you missed the first segments. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I mean, really do the golden rule. And go Cats. Wow.